ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text Number 8. Atmana evanu savanam anjasva tirikena babodhyumana shesha purushartha sarupasya kintu natashisha ashashashanam etat abhishamaradana Matram bhavitam arhati atmana, self-sufficiently. Eva, certainly. Anushavanam, at every moment. Anjasa, directly. Avyatirekena, without stopping. Babhuyamana, increasing. Ashesha, unlimitedly. Purusha Artha, the goals of life. Svarupasya, your actual identity. Kintu, but. Nata, O Lord. Ashisha, benedictions for material enjoyment. Ashashashanam, of us who are always desiring. Etat, this. Abhishamaradana, forgetting your mercy. Matram, only. Bhavitum arhati, can be. You want to record, to put the recorder here. You can't put it so far away, it won't pick up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly, and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us, so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. Purport. Being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord does not need huge sacrifices. Fruitive activity for a more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interest. Yajnarthat karmano yatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. If we do not act to satisfy the Supreme Lord, we engage in Maya's activities. We may construct a gorgeous temple and spend thousands of dollars, but such a temple is not required by the Lord. The Lord has many millions of temples for His residence, and He does not need our attempt. He does not require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are freed from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, He is pleased with us and gives us His benediction. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not for the Lord's sake, but for our own. If we somehow or other receive blessings and benedictions from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified, and we can become eligible to return home back to Godhead. this verse is spoken by priests who are performing a yajna based on Karmakanda sections of the Vedas. The Karmakanda sections of the Vedas are meant for gaining some fruitive benefits from the sacrifice. They are performed by less intelligent persons. Because actually, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, which are the four human necessities of life, are to be distinguished from that fifth activities. And that fifth activity is especially important. Life's goal, Purushartha, is to develop love for God. And it cannot be gained by the performance of any type of fruitive activities or mental speculation or mystical yoga performances. Pure devotional service is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anya bilashita sunya gana karmadiyana vritta anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. We are interested in uttama bhakti. Uttama bhakti means that kind of devotion which is not based on any type of expectation of personal gain from the performance of activities. In other words, it is free from all types of selfish motivation. The priests are quite correct in stating that the Supreme Lord has nothing to gain by the fruitive activities of the living beings. Because the Lord is described as self-sufficient, what can he gain by the small performance of offerings to him? Therefore, as it explained by them, and further explained by Srila Prabhupada, whatever we do in the service of God will not so much benefit him as much as benefit ourselves. Sometimes people inquire, if God is self-sufficient, and after all, if he is God, why is he so anxious for so many people to serve him? The response is that it is we who are benefited when we serve him, and it is due to his love for us that he encourages us to serve him. It is not for his selfish gain, because he is already enjoying the bliss of his internal energy. When we read that the Lord Mahavishnu is lying in yoga nidra, it is explained that the internal potency, Roma Devi, is within him. That means the mystical trance of yoga nidra is actually the internal potency of the Lord. It is the Lord enjoying his internal potency. So externally it appears that Mahavishnu is making the whole material manifestation, certainly for our benefit. Because what need does he have of anything within this world? Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. Now everything is auspicious. What need does he have of any material manifestation? Rather, Prabhupada explains that the Lord has created this material world, being anxious for all the living entities to return back to Godhead and once again take part in the rasa dance with him. So you see that the material creation is actually meant for our benefit. The Lord is anxious for us to return to him, because his pleasure is increased when he sees the pleasure of his loved ones increasing. This is the nature of love. Certainly, God, who is the Supreme Father, loves everyone. And just as a father becomes especially pleased when the children's happiness increases, so the Lord becomes pleased when he sees his devotees pleased. And this is, after all, the most wonderful feature of God. God is not great because of any opulences which he may have. After all, Lord Narayan and all the expansions of God are all opulent. But there is a feature of God which is most wonderful of all, and that is known as Bhakta Vatsal. He is very, very kind to his devotees. And when he becomes especially dear to a devotee, he becomes the servant of that devotee. And this is, after all, the greatest of all the glories of God. Because he is Ajita, unconquerable. No one is equal to him. And yet, of his own free will, he agrees to subordinate himself, to become submissive, to become inferior in a position to his pure devotee. So, this verse has many wonderful words in it. It describes the Lord as self-sufficient, and it describes him, his opulences, as unceasing, unlimitedly increasing at every moment. This is also a description of devotional service. It is self-sufficient, unceasing, and unlimitedly increasing. Once Prabhupada wrote, God, Krishna, is unlimited. His devotees are unlimited. And devotional service is unlimited. His activities are ever-increasing. There is no limit to the types of activities which Krishna performs. What we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam is only a small idea of the unlimited activities going on in the spiritual world. Krishna is described here as unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. What is that unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence? It is the bliss that Krishna experiences with his devotees who are eternally serving him. In the spiritual world, we see how the Lord is always engaged in blissful pastimes. So his experience of happiness is made possible by the love of his devotees. In this regard, we see in this verse the word abhishamaradana. Actually, Sukadeva Goswami is the topmost relisher of Krishna's pastimes. Sukha means parrot. And Sukadeva Goswami is actually, in the spiritual world, the parrot of Srimati Radharani. And so, being the great devotee of Srimati Radharani, this parrot gets the opportunity to observe all of the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam, and in all of the verses of the Bhagavatam, he has actually described the glories of Srimati Radharani and her associates and all the residents of Vrindavan. But he has carefully concealed such meanings within all of these verses. Just like in this verse, the word abhishamaradana means forgetting, not forgetting, but forgetting your mercy, to obtain your mercy. Now, why is it that Srila Sukadeva Goswami did not directly speak the name of Srimati Radharani? Because actually Sukadev Goswami only wants to glorify Radharani, because it is explained that if he had spoken directly about Srimati Radharani, he would have gone into trance. And so we would never have gotten to Srimad Bhagavatam. He would not have been able to utter a single word after this. And so instead, indirectly, he spoke the name of Radharani, and he spoke the glories of Radharani in such a way that he could keep himself in a composed condition to be able to answer the questions of Maharaj Parikshit. In Vrindavan, everyone is praying for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So indirectly, these fruitive priests have uttered the name of Radharani, which is all auspicious. It is by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, who is the personification of Bhakti Devi, that we are able to perform devotional service. This morning, when we were singing the prayers, Tulsi, Arti, everyone was chanting, Jaya Vrinda Devi, Jaya Vrinda Devi, Jaya Vrinda Devi, Jaya Vrinda Devi. Srimati Vrinda Devi is an expansion also of Srimati Radhika. All of the different gopis and manjaris, they are expansions of the pleasure potency. And Vrinda Devi is especially important because it is she who makes all of the nice arrangements for the forest groves of Vrindavan, wherein Radha and Krishna enjoy pastimes. She makes the flowers bloom, even out of season. She makes all the creepers grow and nourishes them. And she renders many personal services to the divine couple. Sometimes she arranges for their meeting. And in the morning, when it is time for them to wake up, it is she who wakes them up. And it is she who tells them, now the time has come for you again to be separated, to go back to your respective homes. So Vrinda Devi is prayed to by us. O Vrinda Devi, please make me your maidservant. Please make me a follower of the cowherd damsels of Braja. So we are all praying like this on the order of Srila Prabhupada. And actually it is very wonderful that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bestow this mood of following in the footsteps of the gopis. And he has glorified the Srimad Bhagavatam as the best of all devotional literatures, because within the pages of the Bhagavatam, Srimati Radharani, the topmost gopi, is glorified again and again, just as we see in this verse. Although the Supreme Lord may not require the sacrificial offerings of fruitive priests, he certainly requires the offerings of his pure devotees. In fact, he himself states that he cannot live without the association of his devotees. We see many examples of how Krishna is dependent upon his devotees. He says that I more like to hear the prayers sung by my eternal associates in Vrindavan, the sweet words, or even the chastising words. Just like we see sometimes there are elderly persons in Vrindavan, in Braja, like Jyotila, who is the mother-in-law of Radharani, who sometimes says so many nasty things to Krishna. And Krishna says, I more like to hear these nasty words of Jyotila than all of the prayers of the personified Vedas. So why is this? Because these words uttered by Jyotila, the so-called mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, are very free from all kinds of thoughts that Krishna is God. Rather, she thinks that you are a debauchee. You are a very big rascal. That you are always trying to steal my daughter-in-law from my son. And you are doing this, victimizing so many young girls in Braja. So you are a big rascal. Now when Krishna hears these words, he becomes very pleased. And then he tells her that you are just like a snake. And you are the most ugly person. And he begins to say so many things like this to her, that your face is just like a monkey. He speaks to her like this. So they are going back and forth, talking in this way. So Krishna enjoys more the mood of devotion of those who have developed such natural affection for him that they are overwhelmed by love, which is free from all kinds of awe and reverence. No fear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially came to relish this type of loving mellows and to expand this to others, to give this, to offer this rare gift to others. He has come especially to teach the mood of natural spontaneous love for Krishna, free of all kinds of awe and veneration. So, although Krishna may be able to do without the fruitive offerings of Karmakanda priests, it is quite a different matter altogether when it comes to the Sankirtan Yajna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot do without the Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna can immediately turn his back on the fruitive offerings of Yajnik priests. Just like we see that when the Yajnik Brahmins were asked by Krishna for something, they turned their back on Krishna. And he did not care at all for them as well. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in a different mood altogether. He came to taste yajna. And the kind of yajna that he came to taste, he cannot do without. He cannot stop himself from participating in it. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Chaitamrita that this Panchatattva came for the purpose of breaking open the storehouse of love of God. And the more they sang and the more they danced, the more they wanted to sing and dance. And in this way, they overflooded the world with Krishna Prema. That singing and dancing, or beating on the mridanga, has been explained by Srila Prabhupada that when the glories of the Lord are vibrated, then the whole world becomes submerged in an inundation, a great flood, in which all material desires are swept away. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur have sung in their songs describing the effect of this Sankirtan movement, that Brahma and Shiva and Narada, they're all coming and dancing in ecstasy and falling on the ground. So, such is the effect of the performance of Sankirtan, that it makes the topmost devotees of the Lord completely forget themselves in ecstatic trance. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter, for expanding the kirtan, book distribution is required. It is therefore called Big Mridanga, Brihat Mridanga, because when the devotees play on this Brihat Mridanga, which is the transcendental printing press for printing devotional books, and when the Sankirtan book distributors take these books and distribute them, then the sound vibration of that kirtan expands to such an extent that the great devotees of the Lord, like Narada Muni, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, completely lose themselves in ecstatic devotion. All the members of the disciplic succession fall into trance when the Sankirtan Mridanga is beating loudly. Prabhupada wrote very nicely to Harikesh Maharaj upon the publication of Nectar of Devotion in German and other books that came out thereafter, that I think that you are the most important grandson of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Why? Because the heart and soul of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was the distribution of transcendental literatures. Prabhupada, as the sincere disciple of his Guru Maharaj, took this order as his life's mission, to see that the books were translated and widely distributed. And therefore, when his disciple understood this order completely and dedicated his life to fulfilling it, Prabhupada said that surely Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is seeing you as the most dear person. So, following in the footsteps of such great personalities, we can also taste the benediction coming through disciplic succession if we embrace this order. The Sankirtan movement is so infectious in its blissful nature, as it is described here. You are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. Krishna is not different from devotional service to Krishna. Yajna or Sankirtan Yajna is such unlimited blissful existence itself. Just like last night, I received a telephone call from Rohini Sutta Prabhu, who gave some indication of the blissfulness that comes from Sankirtan in the Soviet Union. He described one Mataji who was distributing books in the Ural Mountains. What was her name? I forget her name. So, she had set up her book table in a market where they were selling foodstuffs and other things. So she told everyone that now she had her books on display, sets of Prabhupada's books. She said, you'll have to line up here and have your money ready. Unless you have your money ready, I will not sell any books to you. And no one will be able to take more than one set of books because there are too many people who want these books. So everybody immediately got their book up and she said, now line up. Everybody got their money in their hand. She said, line up in a single line and you will pass by me and I will sell the books to you at sets of books only. So all the people took out their money. They were very eager and they got in a long line and they began to buy one set of books at a time, just handing her the money, and she was simply dispensing the books. And he said in this way she sold over 200 books in an hour's time. Then he described another devotee. This devotee had gone to a big fair. But in the fair, there was nothing for sale. You could only, everything was exhibited, but nobody could buy anything. So the devotee had his books, which he set up on a big table, and he was the only person selling. Everybody had come with money, but there was nothing they could buy except our books. So in 2 hours, he sold the whole van of all of his books. He had 500 books, and all of the books were distributed in 2 hours' time. Then he described another person who was in Moscow. He was distributing. So he approached one man who had just bought a big sausage. Huge sausage, he said. So the devotee went to him and said, you must not have read our books very carefully. Don't you know what happens when you buy a sausage? So the man said, no, I don't know what happens. So then he opened up the book and started to show that the results of eating such a sausage is that you will go to hell and you will have to suffer in so many ways. And he was telling this man so many things that you must not have read any of our books, otherwise you would never buy a sausage like this. So the man walked away very depressed. And about 30 minutes later, he came back and he said, I have sold the sausage and here's the money. And he took the book and bought it and walked away. So these type of activities, which are being experienced by Sankirtan devotees, where they are becoming empowered to transform people's lives, are an indication of the unlimited mercy of Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Srimati Radharani has, Chaitanya Mahakrishna has come in the mood of Radharani in order to dispense love of God to all living entities. Because actually this is Radharani's right alone. Because it is she who has the greatest love for Krishna. In Goloka Vrindavan, everyone is a follower of Srimati Radharani. All the pastimes there are meant to bring Radha and Krishna unlimited pleasure. It is she who is known as Ladini Shakti. She is the personified pleasure potency of Krishna. Without Radharani, Krishna cannot be happy. If Radharani is slightly angry or upset, Krishna immediately becomes worried. So it is she who gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna. And in order now to distribute that ability to give pleasure to Krishna, Radharani has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means Krishna wants to know the mood of Radharani. Indirectly, it is Radharani's desire to see Krishna satisfied more. Because the more there are pure devotees of Krishna, the more pleasure will be brought to Krishna. And Radharani wants to bring pleasure to Krishna. So Krishna comes in the mood of Radharani in order to bestow love of Godhead upon the conditioned souls. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is meant for fulfilling this desire of Srimati Radharani. So the devotees who go out on Sankirtan are performing the most confidential service of Srimati Radharani. They are actually giving pleasure to all of the members of the disciplic succession. They are giving pleasure to Srimati Radharani and they are giving pleasure to Lord Krishna. And the result will be that this pleasure potency of Srimati Radharani will expand more and more. As it is said here, it is unlimitedly increasing at every moment. What? The opulences. Shri means opulences. And Shri is a name for Radharani. So Krishna's opulences are expanding unlimitedly means Radharani and her associates' opulences are expanding unlimitedly. And therefore the expansion of book distribution in terms of the number of books increasing more and more is a direct manifestation of the unlimited opulences of Srimati Radharani increasing. These books are her manifestation, her potencies. Because they're bhakti, shastras. Bhakti shastra means expansion of Srimati Radharani in the form of transcendental literatures. Because she's bhakti devi. And the books are bhakti shastras. So her potency is in these books. So when the books are increasingly distributed, the potency is increasingly going out. And what will be the result? Anyone who touches these books, anyone who sees these books, anyone who comes in contact with these books in any way, they become in contact with Srimati Radharani. And what does that mean? They begin to desire to serve Krishna. Unless one is blessed by Ladini Shakti, they cannot get the idea of how to serve Krishna. So the books are actually fulfilling this purpose in a way that nothing else can do. So today, when we go out on book distribution, we should be meditating on all of these facts. We should know within that I am doing the bidding of Srimati Radharani. And this is the purpose of the disciplic succession. They're all coming with the idea of being maidservants of Srimati Radharani. We are praying to Vrindadevi only for that purpose. We are praying to Krishna as Hare Krishna when we are chanting only with that attitude. And so the Sankirtan book distribution mood is not different from any of these prayers. It is the same type of prayer. But it is done in such a wonderful way because it is coming through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya. It is directly the way to enter into the service of Radha and Krishna. It is nothing else but that. So, these karmakanda personalities, they have no idea of all of these things. They are simply praying for some material fruitive results. And this is the same business going on in all the religions of the world today. Oh, God, give me this. God, give me that. Whether Christian, Hindu, Jews, or Muslims, practically everyone is simply praying for material boons. But we are not praying for material boons. Our acharyas are praying in quite a different way. Please keep me in a simple position. Keep me very simple in a very humble, meager position, like our Goswamis. What did they have? What possession did they have? They had the greatest possession of all. They had unlimited opulences. It did not come in outer manifestation. They were wearing rags. They were living under trees. They were eating practically nothing but air. But what is that treasure? What is the opulence which they had? They had unlimited love for Radha and Krishna. So let us not make the mistake of any materially motivated prayer. Let us only pray that I want to be a follower in disciplic succession of Srimati Radharani. And let us understand when we go out on Sankirtan that this is the best way to show Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and all the members of the disciplic succession, this is our desire. We don't simply offer empty words. We go out and we work hard to make sure that our words are genuine and real. Prabhupada said, I don't like it if someone simply says something but does nothing. If actually you mean what you say, then you do it. You act upon it, as Prabhupada did. He did not simply sit in India and think, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that this message will spread to every town and village. He did it. He went out and he spread it to every town and village. So we are not going to be some Babajis sitting around in the temple, oh Krishna, oh Radha, oh Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I love you so much. That's all right. But let us show how much we love them. And the proof of that love will be shown by how selflessly we go out and spread the Sankirtan movement. That will actually be the proof to Radha and Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to our spiritual masters, that we are actually trying sincerely to get some idea, some drop of mercy from all of them. So the marathon which has come is a wonderful opportunity. Now we can pull out all of the stops, as they say. In other words, sometimes we are a little careful, well, I better get a little extra sleep, or well, I better, eat a few more chapatis, or well, I better take a day off, or well, I better watch this. No, now at this time we don't watch any of these things. We take a little extra risk. And as the marathon progresses, we take a little more risk, and a little more risk, and a little more risk, until practically we are risking our life for Krishna. And when that happens, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes you and he embraces you. He will embrace you in his arms, you see, and you will not be the same anymore. Just like we see in the story of Narottam Das Thakur, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the prema of love within the waters of the river. And when Narottam Das went in there, right, his whole body became transformed and became golden. So we will watch to see whose body is becoming golden as they dive into the waters of the prema of, Sankirtan Yajna. And it will happen. Actually, it will happen. The consciousness will become like gold. It will become so beautiful that Prabhupada and his disciples and all the members of ISKCON will be able to understand and appreciate when someone has become a recipient of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Prabhupada is so wonderful, his followers are so wonderful, that they have kept this activity of Sankirtan alive, that it is going on increasing. We cannot imagine what would be Prabhupada's response now, seeing the results of book distribution in Europe. It is impossible to conceive of. When there were so little results, it had such a big effect on Prabhupada that we cannot imagine what would be the effect now. I think that Prabhupada would have given up living everywhere else and he would simply sit here. He would simply move between Zurich and Berlin and Moscow and St. Petersburg and just sit here and beam with great pleasure. Never mind the rest of the world, he would say. There's no need to go anywhere else. I will sit here permanently. If you go on performing Sankirtan in this way, I have no reason to go anywhere else. So, this will help us now. We will be able to do what is normally impossible. To become Krishna conscious in one lifetime is practically an impossible feat. It is not very possible. Yet we see that Srila Prabhupada said that in this very lifetime, go back to home, back to Godhead. How is it possible that Prabhupada could promise that we should go back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime? Because actually it is practically impossible to make such a promise. Considering the nature of material conditioning, it should take many lifetimes. I think that it is because he knew the potency of Sankirtan Yajna. He knew that to perform Sankirtan Yajna, as the fanatical Westerners will do, you see, because everything we do with a fanatical mood, that it will wring out all of the material desires which are in our heart. They will all come out. Just like we see in India, when the dobis, the washermen, are washing cloth. You know how they do it? You have never seen? They take the cloth and they beat it on a stone. They go to the river and there are those flat stones. Actually, when the British came to India, they were very surprised. Because they said, I have seen something very wonderful. People are trying to break stones with clothing. They didn't know that they are trying to wash their clothes. The idea is that by smashing the clothes on the stone, all of the dirt will come out. In the same way, this book distribution marathon is like that. It smashes our hearts again and again to drive out all the dirt. There'll be no more dirt left. At the end of the day, we feel liberated. Liberation is nothing. You can see a devotee is completely in a liberated mood. When they come in to the temple, when they come back to the temple or finish a day's distribution, having distributed 200, 300, 500, 700, or 1,000 books, they're already in the spiritual world. They're feeling complete. They know that Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has taken over their life. He has possessed them. They are like ghostly haunted. But their ghost is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like when the fisherman, he pulled out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, some ghost, he touched him and he said, something has possessed me. So a devotee becomes like this, possessed of the ghost of Lord Chaitanya. So let us pray. How shall we pray? In a very humble mood. Who will we pray to? We will begin by praying to our spiritual master, and then to his spiritual master, and his spiritual master, and all the gurus in disciplic succession. We should begin our Sankirtan Yajna each day with fervent prayers at their lotus feet. Then we will pray to Nityananda Prabhu and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and ultimately we will pray to Radha and Krishna, that all of you, please utilize me. I am a puppet. Make me dance in your hands so that you will become satisfied in this wonderful play of Sankirtan. So we pray like this, that the Sankirtan will be pleasing to Guru and Gauranga and all the Vaishnavas. Sankirtan Yajna Ki. Sankirtan Marathon Ki. Jai. Sankirtan Devotees Ki. Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. So, we have ended in time. Perhaps Satchinandan Maharaj will speak something. A few words. Here, bring the microphone. You can sit here. Okay, you sit.
Maham Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutalesa Madhavakti Vidanta Swami Nityanamini. Namaste, Saraswati Devam, Gauravani Pacharini, Nivase, Saraswati Vari, Vaskatyati, Satarini. When we start the marathon, we usually tell the devotees that for a month they should give away their worries, the restrictions which they feel to go out on Sankirtan. They should give away their plans in one big box, and it should be locked to the spiritual master. So then they should throw themselves into the fire of book distribution. And whatever shadows of doubts and restrictions are still lingering on, they will be burnt by that fire of